Blue Station.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett. One Republican presidential candidate pulled aside the veil on a common political myth. Senior correspondent Jason Wirt explains.
During last night's Republican debate, Texas Senator Ted Cruz called out what he saw as one of the biggest lies in American politics.
The biggest lie in all of Washington and in all of politics is that Republicans are the party of the rich. The truth is the rich do great with big government. They get in bed with big government. The big banks get bigger and bigger and bigger under Dodd-Frank, and community banks are going out of business. And by the way, the consequence of that is small businesses can't get business loans.
Cruz later said he wouldn't bail out big banks if they fail. I'm Jason Wirt.
A powerful storm is moving across the central U.S. today. The National Weather Service says blizzard conditions are possible in parts of Colorado, Nebraska, and Kansas. Severe storms could bring hail and possible tornadoes into eastern Nebraska and parts of Iowa, stretching into Missouri and Illinois. This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. Gatorsecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
USA Christian News. Chick-fil-A is at the top of the list of the faith-driven consumer rankings of companies that best reflect Christian values. The fast food chain was followed by Hobby Lobby, Interstate Batteries, Tyson Foods, and then in the number 5 spot, Cracker Barrel. I spoke to Deanne Turner, the Vice President of Corporate Talent at Chick-fil-A, who says many of the stores offer Spirit Night, Daddy Date Night, and of course, that special treatment that parents or grandparents get when they pull up with a car full of little blessings.
Moms drive through the drive-thru, make their order, pull over into a parking space, and by the time they've unloaded the young children and get into the restaurant, a table's been set for them, the kids' placemat is set down, the high chairs pulled up, and their food is coming to the table ready for them.
Deanne Turner writes about Chick-fil-A's policy of trying to delight and surprise customers in her book, It's My Pleasure. For the USA Radio Network, this is John Clemens.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded woman's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
Penny is joining the list of major retailers opening their doors on Thanksgiving Day. The company plans to kick off its Black Friday sale at 3 p.m. on Turkey Day. Macy's, Target, and Best Buy have also announced openings on Thanksgiving. However, Nordstrom is choosing not to participate. Nordstrom says it's sticking to its long-standing policy of no Christmas decorations until after Thanksgiving. A spokesman for Nordstrom told ABC News yesterday, quote, "We feel strongly about celebrating one holiday at a time with our decorations." The high-end retailer also says that its stores will be closed on Thanksgiving. And still on the subject of the holidays, Starbucks has seasonal simplicity while Dunkin' Donuts is going for joy. The Donuts and Coffee chain's new cups are decorated with a wreath around the word joy in big letters. Starbucks red cups with the green and white logo jumped into the news when a number of Christians accused the company of waging war against Christmas. For breaking news, we're at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
No, the circle quit.
Oh, boy.
See, what Pastor Tom does, folks, so you don't know, he, instead of giving me a dirty look and saying, Joe, you're ready to talk, he starts swinging his hand up in the air and doing circles, like we're circling the wagons. And when all of a sudden the Indians come up with an arrow, that's the time we start.
You're on.
I knew that this whole time. You know, I just was letting people know that we start. Hey, by the way, this is Veterans Day.
Yes.
And, yeah.
I want to say thanks to all the veterans.
A lot of respect to all the vets.
Yeah, and I'm gonna tell a veteran story here before the show's over.
Well, you do that.
Yeah, but you know, we will start off.
Well, we owe a huge debt of gratitude to the veterans.
Well, you know, we all have our opinions on what our American military does, which I'm going to save. I'm not going to take it. I just know this. Thank you, Lord. We get to live in America.
Amen.
This is the best country on earth. Every time I hear somebody say, Joe, what about? And I said, let me tell you, I've been very lucky. I've been all over the world. And there's some nice places. But nobody has the freedoms, the gifts, the enjoyment that we have in spite of our politics.
And that's why when I travel, I'll take my ruby slippers with me.
That's right.
And your magic carpet.
No place like home.
Yeah.
You know, wasn't there a movie that had something like that?
That's
right. You don't look like her at all.
Had a character in there, like an Oz character.
Shoes are awful tight.
You look a bit like the lion now that I think about it. Now they got the new movie out called The Wiz.
The Wiz?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's loosely.
There was a Broadway show, The Wiz.
Same thing. 1-888-221-8990. This is the Team Martech Hour. I am Joe Martech. 1-888-221-8990. Write that down, class. Write that number down. Whenever you get in the mood to call, you dial 1-888-221-8990 because we're here to answer questions. We're here to help. We're very blessed people. We've been doing these radio shows for at least 10 years, maybe longer, because we can't remember when we started because we're old. But we know it was before 04, so that's 11 years now.
Hmm.
Back, you know, almost to the minute, because we count Francis and Jean, the hurricanes, which were September and October, if I remember right, of 04.
September of 04.
Yeah.
That's Francis and Jean. They're about 2 weeks apart.
Yeah. Yeah.
In September.
They flowed into the 2 months. So now we have an official, no matter what, 11 years, because that's when we called our unofficial date. Concept of the show is very simple, folks. I'm a financial advisor, also called a stockbroker, a securities principal, lots of licenses. There's not too much that I can't handle that I know of, because I'm licensed to do, as far as I know, just about everything. I'm not allowed to say everything because I've been told I can't say everything.
Compliance will get you, Joe.
Compliance will get me. So I can't say everything, even though I don't know what I can't do. I just know there's some things the broker-dealer prefer I wouldn't do, and that does happen with a whole bunch of us. But anybody has questions today on IRAs, 401ks, 457s, 403s? How many letters and numbers are there, Vince?
Oh, there's a whole slew of them, right.
But
you've covered the main ones when it comes to retirement plans and
Roth IRAs.
Roth IRAs, but in terms of the numbers, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What happens is when it comes to transfers, rollovers, taxes, tax-free, what part is taxable, when do you have to start taking them, any questions you might have for those things, we're here to help you with that. And with me today is Vince Rizzino, CPA, also, quote, forensic CPA, which is a special designation that not too many get, because in order to get that, the courts have to recognize you as having enough experience, education, classes, etc., to be an expert witness, and you get to then testify in a court system either for or against, depends on who hires you, as a credible witness, forensic. We also have in our group, who is not here today, Mr. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, who was on our morning show, by the way. Which, you know, Dan's got a very interesting background when we start talking about veterans, because his dad in the Second World mm-hmm. War, his father, actually, you get a kick. I don't know if you know about this, Tom, but his father testified in the Nuremberg trials. Second World War. He was actually spoke, I think, 9 or 10 or 11 languages, and he became an interpreter and working with governments. But he had an interesting history where his family basically were in favor of who was running Russia? The Tsar.
The Tsar, yeah.
His family were the Cossacks. They were the elite military. Yes. Well, that didn't work out, so they moved to Yugoslavia. And then in order to get into a free country, he went to Germany just in time for Hitler.
Mm.
And then he managed to get out of there and get to the United States. And you can imagine what all that was. Now, here was a high level guy.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up doing lawns in Palm Beach, you know, because, you know, what happens is a lot of people have to start over in life. But just part of an interesting
story. I didn't know that much.
I knew
he had Russian background, his family from Russia, but
he visited Russia recently.
Yeah,
he did.
He got to go back to his homestead and roots, and anyway, just as things go, let's face it, the only ones of us that were born in America that might know it or might remember it are called Native Americans, and we're not sure if they didn't come over from China or someplace.
They probably did.
Bering Strait, whatever.
They went across from Alaska.
Yeah, yeah. Because I don't think the land of Adam and Eve was in the U.S. Do you think, Tom?
No.
Thank you. I'm just getting some biblical scripture out here.
A little place called Mesopotamia, but northern Iraq.
Little place, you know, northern Iraq. You think? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It got cold up there.
Mm-hmm.
Cold where?
In Mesopotamia.
No, in the Garden of Eden. I don't think it was cold.
But that wasn't. It couldn't have been northern Iraq, could it?
Oh, well, yeah, that's basically what the history sort of is indicating.
Is that true? Huh? Look, come on. You're our expert.
Yeah, come on, Tom. You're the expert.
I'm just there.
Lord.
Boy, is he?
Well, it's in what would be present-day Iraq.
Present. Okay, so you're right, Vin.
Well, I'm doing a lot of reading, Joe. I told you.
You know,
I've become a student of the Bible.
You know, with the Euphrates.
Since we started this show, he doesn't want you to know everything, Tom. He wants to know that he knows something.
Well, he's learning.
That's right.
He's in the learning phase. Very good.
I've only got another 100 years to get there.
Well, you know, if I were you, I'd read a little faster because the odds are good. You're not going to make it that long. So anyway, Dan Warren's an independent insurance agent. When we started doing these shows, the most important thing to me was to have somebody that was independent. The reason for independence was if you work for one insurance company and that one insurance company says, okay, get rid of half of these or raise the premiums by 100% or 50 or whatever, that's not a good thing. But if you're independent, you don't work for one insurance company. You work for the client and you say to the client, okay, fine, I've got 30, 40, 50, 20, whatever the number of the companies is. Dan happens to have over 80 in his thing, and he's only been around for 36 or 37 years. In my opinion, very humble, he is the premier agent on the Treasure Coast, period. That's my opinion. And Dan did get an award, by the way, from the Treasure Coast, whatever it was. I think 50,000 or 5,000 people voted that he is the best independent insurance agent. So he does a job, and I tell you, when Vin and I send him business, or anybody does, we've never had it come back to haunt us. The man just does a tremendous job.
He's done good work for me, Joe, just personally. And I know I sent him several clients.
Yep.
And not a one has come back and questioned the referral.
Yeah. And then next member, Greg Fasula, attorney, same thing. The reason we had to have an attorney was because one of the first things I do when I meet a new prospect or suspect is talk about wills and or trusts. And do they have such a thing? And if they do, is it current? Is it valid in the state of Florida? And if they don't, why don't you? And I'm a bit of a pot stirrer that my thing is that if I'm going to do the right job for you, we've got to get this thing taken care of. Because if Dan was here, and Vin, you know this as well as anybody alive, if you don't have a will or a trust, the state's got it all figured out. Family's not going to be happy. It's going to take a long time. So there are certain things that need to be done, in my opinion, by an attorney, rather than going to Home Depot or wherever it is and get a piece of paper to fill out that might be not be legal.
You might go to Staples and get a program there.
Yeah, same thing. Sometimes it isn't legally done. It isn't proper according to Florida rules, which can come back to haunt the family. So for what I consider a very small amount of money, wills and trusts can be done.
It's a good investment.
Good investment. So had to have an attorney that was, I would consider, my opinion, user-friendly, not arrogant, not pretentious, good listener. And Greg Fasula happens to be all of those. And
definitely, and more.
And he knows his stuff. And what he won't do, which we've all seen attorneys take business from people that they didn't know what they were doing, and they would learn on the customer's dime. Greg, if he doesn't know it, he doesn't do it. He'll tell you right flat out, and he'll refer you to somebody else that he has confidence in, which makes me feel very, very comfortable. As I've had clients that needed various things that Greg couldn't do, but he would send me to the right people. This relationship with Greg is over 20 years old now. He just happens to be probably the only attorney I know I'd like to have as a next-door neighbor. He's just a flat good guy. Then we also have Miss Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. My nickname for her is Miss Bubbles. She's only got two speeds. She's either running full blast working or she's sleeping. She is got more energy than I think anybody alive.
She's the best.
But she's been in the real estate business since 1980. And 1980 would make her a couple weeks old, and she doesn't look a day over 30.
No, she doesn't.
And just if I say something else, she'll hit me, so I have to say that. But literally, you can't get that girl to lie no matter what you do. She knows her stuff. If she tells you she's going to call you at 3 in the morning, she will call you at 3 in the morning. I mean, this girl does exactly what she says. And she's been written up as one of the top 100 agents in the entire world for REMAX. And that's quite an honor. She just, as far as she's concerned, she thought that was 100 out of 100,000 agents in Florida. And I said, Vic, no, that's in the whole world. Not just for you. Sure, Joe? And I said, yeah, I'm sure. Anyway, she's very humble, but she knows her stuff. Which leads me to Mike Paulus, who's a mortgage broker, and they work hand in glove. And we've had many, many people call in on this show that Mike has been able to help. And one of the things that Mike does is, let's just give you an example. You walk into a bank today and you say, hey, I want to get a mortgage. They say, fine, fill out this paperwork. We'll do this application. And in a couple, 3 weeks, we tell you yay or nay. Do it with Mike, 15 minutes, you know where you stand. He's going to run a credit check for you right away, going to tell you what you qualify for. And if you have a problem, he'll say, hey, you've got a problem, we need to cure this, let's work on how we're going to cure it. It might take you 3 or 6 months. But the bottom line is, Mike is going to set you straight. So the whole group, very simply, is here to help people. We've been very blessed that we've been able to help a lot of people for a number of years. And we are sitting here by the phone, and Pastor Tom quit nodding off. You're supposed to stay awake now. Uh-oh, we lost him.
You notice it's quiet, Joe.
I noticed. 1-888-221-8990.
We had a call Monday.
And?
For Mike. Good. Wanting a reverse mortgage.
Good, which I didn't just talk about, but I think reverse mortgages are the greatest thing since chocolate milk. I mean, I
there's absolutely nothing wrong with them.
No.
And to be honest, Joe, sometimes that's the only asset some of the older folks have.
Well, the other side of the coin is, think about, you know, the old rule is own your house, own your house, own your house. So here you are, you work your whole life and you pay off your house and you own it. Now the house owns you. So now I'm living on Social Security and maybe a little bit of investment money or a small pension or whatever, and I really am stuck in my house not doing anything, and I'm at this point in life, and I'm in my 60s or 70s, and I should be able to take a nice cruise or go at something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how am I going to do that? I can't afford to. Well, the reverse mortgage simply says, if you own a house, let's say it's worth $100,000, they may give you $50,000 up front, and you never have to pay it back.
And better yet, if you die and you're upside down on the house, meaning you owe more than it's worth,
nobody
can't come after your heirs for
no.
it.
No, but if the house is worth more than you owe, the kids can sell it, pay off the mortgage, and they get the rest of it.
Exactly.
I have seen, the best one I ever saw, Vince, was a lady in Fort Pierce. Now, she was not a young woman. She was in her 80s. She lived in Fort Pierce her whole life. She owned her house. It wasn't worth a bundle. It wasn't a palace. She had never had air conditioning, and she's in her 80s.
Mm.
Now, you know, living in Florida without AC, it'd be interesting. None of us have tried it. Only when the power went out.
Only during hurricanes.
Only
right,
during hurricanes.
Exactly.
And we knew we weren't very comfortable then. She got a reverse mortgage, and she had air conditioning put in her house for the first time in her life. And I got to tell you, it was like a different person after that she had that done. And knowing that she could now live comfortably for the first time in her life, it was wonderful to see the before and after person. Yeah. What a dramatic difference it made.
All this because of a reverse mortgage?
Just because of a
reverse mortgage. And you know, a lot of people who do own homes,
mm-hmm.
because of the economy and the way it's gone, they've had to refinance that house.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they maybe have refinanced it again. And so they may have been in that house for 25, 30 years. but they really don't have a whole lot of equity.
They can't get a reverse and mortgage without equity.
Yeah, but...
I know, but it's one of the problems of life. But the key is this. If you have equity, meaning your house is worth more than you owe, and you're over age 62, which is one of the criteria, you can apply for a reverse mortgage. Let me just, little minor thing, the older you are, the higher the percentage of the house's value you can actually take and put in your pocket.
And is there a limit to how much equity you have, a percentage of equity?
I don't know exactly, but I think it's at least 20% you're going to have in there. Because they usually want, if you say you're at 62.
Yeah.
I had a case recently, it was 60% was all that we're going to give
them. Yeah. Point is.
No, I mean, but if let's say I've been living in my house and I refinanced and I only have 20% equity that I own.
You may be able to pay it off.
Yeah.
But you may not put any money in your pocket, but you may be able to take a reverse mortgage and instead of making $1,000 a month house payment, you have no house payment anymore. Mm-hmm. But you've got to pay your taxes.
So what I'm saying is it'd be 40%, not 20. So if you had 20%, that wouldn't be enough.
Yeah.
This case I was talking, I had 40% equity in
there. Yeah,
So they were able to get the 60 as a reverse mortgage.
They get 60% of the 40% that they owned.
No. They get 60% of the equity that's in the house.
Here's 60%
of the equity. So if the house is worth, let's say, $200,000 and you had a $100,000 mortgage.
They'll
give you $60,000.
Yeah. Point is, the older you are, the higher the percentage of the equity they will let you borrow. But the key thing with this, let's say you have that first mortgage. Well, hey, the worst that can happen is, and I've seen this, is it gets paid off.
Yeah. Well, that's not the worst thing, Joe. It's in fact a prerequisite. They won't do a reverse mortgage unless through that process, you have to pay off your existing
loan.
Take that same $200,000 house.
Right.
If I only have $10,000 equity in that house,
you're not going to get a reverse mortgage.
No.
You've got to have a substantial amount of equity. And we don't know the formula, Vince and I, but the bottom line is if you're 62, the amount of equity you have to have is much more than if you're 80.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of money you can get in a reverse mortgage is lower at 62 than it is at 80.
Because the theory is you're not going to be around that long, and so that's probably the deal will close within a short period of time.
Well, people that bought their house 20 years ago and they've stayed in their house all that time, the bubble burst, they lost a lot of equity.
Right.
However, have they recouped much of that?
Oh, yeah. I'd say probably a little more than half of it. In some cases, more than that since the bust.
They say that the market in Martin County has gone up 20-25% in the last year. And St. Lucie County is similar. Indian River County, very similar. Palm Beach County. Yeah. All of them. The market has come back dramatically. It may not be back. Well, in fact, it may never get back to the bubble.
I think it's back to about the prices in 2003, 2004. That's probably where we are right now.
But the key with a reverse mortgage is this, and rather than giving you specifics on it, if it's something you think might work, you would talk to Mike. Mike would do the numbers over the phone with you, tell you, bam, here's what it is, and you're done within 15 minutes. And none of that costs you a nickel. You don't pay for anything until you get hired, and if you know you're going to be approved, then life is a lot simpler.
And they make it so easy for you today, Joe. I mean, you don't even have to take it all up front.
No.
You can open up a line of credit. You can take whatever that equity loan that they're willing to give you on the reverse. You could take it all up front. You could take it in pieces. You could take it with a line of credit.
You could take none of it. You could just let it sit there until you need it.
You get a checkbook. You let it sit there, and when you want to take the money, you just write
it. It's like a home equity line like you get from the bank, but each time you take money, you don't have to pay it back.
Right.
But when you die or sell the house, you now have to pay it back. So.
Interest does accrue, Joe. Oh,
of course.
It accrues. You don't pay it, at least not as you go.
But at
the end, when the house, either you die or you sell the house, then they recapture all the loan that they have.
Of course.
Plus the interest.
Yeah. And if you're upside down, they took that risk.
There's no liability to the family. The kids' parents spent their kids' inheritance is what they did.
That's exactly right.
But, you know.
And I've seen bumper stickers that say that.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Cute, we've all seen them. Here we are. We're out spending our kids' inheritance.
I love my inheritance.
1-888-221-8990. Let's talk about a subject near and dear to us.
Which one is that? Social Security?
Short sales.
Oh, short sales. Oh, okay.
So let's take an example. I buy a house for $200,000, and a year later, my house is worth $100,000 because the market tanked, and I lost my job, or I'm not in a position to make payments, and I go to my bank and I say, I need to leave my house, but I don't want to go through foreclosure. Can I sell it? And will you, bank, be willing to take less than what I owe you and let me walk away? And banks have said yes to that. Now, if you have $1 million in assets, they are not going to say yes. They want to know that you actually have a problem, and you can prove that you have a problem, that you cannot afford it, but you're doing the best you can to afford it, but you can't, and you need to leave. And will they accept the short sale? So let's just take that example. $200,000, bank accepts $100,000, and I walk away.
Now, what was the original mortgage, Joe?
$200,000.
Well, the mortgage is $200,000. Yeah. What's the house worth?
$100,000.
Okay, and you walk away.
And I walk away. What's my tax consequences?
Okay, well, on that, it depends on whether it's your personal residence or
it
not.
It has to be your personal. You can't get a short sale except on a homestead.
Okay, even on a homestead. The theory here is that you don't no longer have the exclusion, Joe, on that $100,000 of forgiveness of debt. That was over at the end of 2014.
But let's say they gave it to you.
So they gave it to you. They'll give you a 1099 at the end of the year.
Right.
Which says, by the way, we forgave, or actually we didn't recover $100,000 of
right.
that mortgage.
Right.
And you have a $100,000 1099-C.
So that means that I now owe tax on $100,000.
Yes and no. Okay. Here's where we're coming. You have to do, there is basis involved in here because you do have a cost, what you paid for it.
Right, right.
You did have money in it to begin with.
Right, right.
So yes, you have to declare the 1099 money coming in, but you might have offsets.
So let's say I paid $200,000. I got a $200,000 mortgage. I got 100%. I'm giving a goofy example, but I have a $200,000 mortgage, and the bank accepts $100,000. But I put $25,000 into the house. So basically, maybe I've got a basis of $125,000.
Right. So if you got a base of $125,000, and you're getting a $100,000 cancellation of indebtedness,
right.
You'd have the offset of your
so business. Then basically that $75,000 would become subject to tax unless prior to 2014
it was exempt. You didn't pay any taxes.
The bank said,
you know, all right, I'll give it to you, but it didn't matter.
Right.
But even now, there are other ways you can avoid having to pay the tax. For example, if you're upside down, or I should say insolvent is the word. It's a technical word. It means that your liabilities are
more than
your
assets. Which normally, when you do this, it's where you are.
More than likely. And in those scenarios, you can also be exclude that cancellation of indebtedness income. You apply it to the basis in the house, and you're done.
I got a question. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I want you to give more detail. So let's do this again. $200,000 was my mortgage. $100,000 the bank accepted. I got $25,000 into the house that we put into it in the last 5 years or whatever. So now I'm broke, lost my job. I'm insolvent. I probably should go bankrupt. But the bank sends me a 1099, and I basically have a $75,000 gain in effect because it's, you know, that goes. But now I'm insolvent. How does that work tax-wise?
Well, the gain that... $75,000 would be excluded if you can fall under Section 108 of the IRS code, which says if you're insolvent,
right,
then that particular cancellation of indebtedness might qualify to be excluded from income.
Now, does that carry forward, or is that period?
No, it happens the year that the event happens.
So that way, next year, I wouldn't have to worry about it. That would be done. Okay. Well, you know, because... Now, if you take, like you said, after 2014, because banks used to forgive the whole nine yards, but now they may not, and you've got to be very careful on that.
If you're not insolvent, you don't have that exclusion.
Well, you mentioned something there about you might should have filed bankruptcy, and that was what I was thinking about.
That was the other option.
Is if you do a short sale and your situation, you know, maybe you just can't pay the house payment at all, you're out of work, you've been injured, whatever, and you have to do the short sale, if you file bankruptcy at that same time, does that eliminate the liability of taxes?
It could be if that liability exists at the time that you do the bankruptcy.
That would be insolvency.
The insolvency probably caused the bankruptcy.
Yeah.
But there are two separate scenarios, the insolvency and the bankruptcy.
Yeah, okay.
But literally, if the bankruptcy court approves it, which it normally would, what Vince and I both are trying to walk a line here, because this has to be approved by the court, that you just can't say automatically when you file for bankruptcy they're going to forgive all your debt.
No.
Because they say, no, you can't forgive this one, you can't forgive that one. Isn't it student loans can't be forgiven in bankruptcy?
I don't believe so.
I don't think so.
The other thing is certain, tax
rules.
Liabilities can't be excluded, like payroll tax liabilities, sales tax liabilities.
No.
Those can't be discharged in a bankruptcy. So you're still stuck with those things.
Mm-hmm.
So Joe's right, and we all walk in the line, because the court would have to say which items would be eligible, subject to be dissolved.
But literally, the person that does the short sale normally is trying to be honorable. And what they're trying to say is, hey, we don't want to stick your bank. We want to keep this house making look good. This has been our home. We are now, because of health problems, job problems, who knows what kind of problems, cannot afford it. But we just don't want to walk away and let it be boarded up and foreclosed. Can we work out a deal where we can sell it for whatever the market value is, and you can forgive us the loan? And the banks have said yes, and that's called a short sale. Now comes the tax implications. If you do the short sale and the bank says, fine, you owed $200, you sold it for $100, your basis tax-wise, Vince is going to say, is $125, you got a $75,000 subject to tax income that may or may not be forgiven depending on your
circumstances. It could be forgiven under the insolvency rules, could be forgiven under bankruptcy rules.
Right.
Or it could be that you're just going to apply it to how does
that affect the individual going forward, doing the short sale as opposed to bankruptcy?
Well, I think the end result is probably be similar. So if they
both
get discharged,
both of them are going to hurt your credit.
Yes.
If that's what,
exactly.
There's no doubt.
Well, I know they're both going to hurt, but I mean, does, from a tax point of view? Well, no, from the credit point of view going forward, does the bankruptcy 7 years?
Here's what I would probably say.
Technically, yes.
But it depends.
It depends.
Mike would tell you, if he was sitting here, that you can get a new mortgage on a new house even if you went bankrupt 2 or 3 years ago.
Right.
It depends on the loan you're applying for. It depends on the rules that lender has. Now, you might be able, with a short sale, to get a new mortgage in 1 year or less time than in a bankruptcy. A bankruptcy is more severe as far as creditworthiness goes than a short sale. A foreclosure falls somewhere into that same scenario. It's probably not as bad as bankruptcy, but probably not as good as a short sale.
Exactly.
It's like 1, 2, 3. So you've got a time frame that may range from a year to 5, and I don't know my numbers here, but I'm guessing, but I know that if Mike was sitting here, he could say, hey, they loosened up the rule last week, used to be 2 years, now it's 18 months. I mean, literally things happen today that weren't the same way yesterday. But the key thing I was trying to do is to educate people a bit on what might be a tax consequence or might not be based on their financial condition. But I would think normally if the bank accepts a short sale, that means they know that the borrower that wants to get out is in trouble. They wouldn't accept it if they knew that person had the ability to pay it.
Does their payment have to be current? Does it?
Not necessarily.
Okay. And what they do, Pastor, is they actually ask you for a financial statement. So you've got to, under perjurious,
you've got to prove that you're broke.
For a while, that was happening quite frequently. You heard about a lot of short sales.
Yeah.
Has that slowed down? Has the foreclosure rate slowed?
Well, the key is this. If the value of your real estate was $100,000 and you owe $200,000, but now it's worth $150,000 or $180,000, you got your job back. Maybe your health is better. Maybe you've reconstructed things. There are people that have gone in and refinanced, and there's the HARP program, H-A-R-P, which allows people to refinance. There's all kinds of programs out there, and believe me, Vince and I don't know them, Tom, but if Mike was here, he knows them.
He knows them. And I know HARP, and I know this about HARP. It has to be a HUD-financed mortgage.
Yep.
It's just not a conventional. Conventionals are not eligible.
Right.
But if it's a HUD-financed mortgage, you can apply.
Which means Fannie Mae or Freddie
Mac. It's guaranteed.
Point is...
So a VA wouldn't qualify?
I don't believe they do.
Point is that Mike knows how these things work. So anyway, you call 1-888-221-8990. He's not here today, but if you do call and you leave your name and number, we'll have him call you.
These are questions definitely for Mike, and if he has specific questions, he's the guy to talk to.
Guy.
He knows that industry inside and out. I'm just a layman when it comes to that.
Here's another one. And we had this caller came, and why you got mad at me, that she said, I got a 1099 for $6,000 because the bank gave me a check for $3,000. mm-hmm. to help me move. Mm-hmm. And we did a short sale, mm-hmm. and they forgave me, and I got to leave, but I couldn't even afford to get out of the house. So they gave me a check for $3,000,
mm-hmm.
tax-wise.
Well, it's all part and parcel of the short sale accounting. If it's, I don't care if they pay, this is money you got in. My interpretation is it's income to you.
It is income.
Which would be offset by, again, and looking at the basis calculation, do you have anything to offset it? Yes, you'd have to declare it. Yes, it would be on your tax return.
Right.
I got this income, you're showing it, and then and you're going to show the application of basis against it. So it may or may not be ultimately taxable to you. But you
it's
have
subject,
to consider,
it's subject to tax.
Well, it's declarable. It's
declarable, right.
So you have to declare it, but that doesn't mean you're going to be taxed on it.
Right.
It's like saying, I've got reimbursed for certain employee expenses you incurred as an employee
right.
that your employer only partially paid you for.
Right, right, right.
Well, the part that they reimbursed you for likely is in your W-2.
Yeah,
most
yeah.
times it is.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got the income there. Now it's up to you now to take the offset.
Show that there's an offset. So literally what happens is all of these things are tax implications, and to come up with an easy answer is never possible. You have to look down at the whole picture, do the calculation, see how it works out.
See how it works out. And every case is just a little bit different. And so I say go to a professional,
yeah.
have them look at it, and
do you know anybody that does taxes?
I have one person here. I'm actually thinking about him. He's behind the microphone.
There was a guy here named Vince.
There was a guy named Vince.
You look familiar. No wonder you look
it
familiar.
It was my cousin.
My cousin Vinny. You Utes.
It was the Utes.
You have gotten to be an old Ute, I'm telling you.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's what my wife tells me.
Speaking of taxes, that's coming up here.
Right now, I'm in the throes now of doing year-end planning for my clients. But, it's getting tougher and tougher to do.
What about property taxes?
They do exist.
I just got my tax statement the other day.
Did you get the actual bill?
I got the actual bill.
Okay, good for you. I'm happy.
And if I pay it this month, I save
4%, yeah,
4% or whatever. Is there any strategy to reduce property taxes?
Yeah, and go
other
back.
Than buy a smaller house.
Go fight with them.
I mean, can
you can
do
challenge
that?
The appraised value. You can contact the appraiser's office and ask them to do comps, so they'll come and check your house out.
Let's say you get a tax bill of your market value they put down on your tax bills, $200,000. You say, wait a minute, nobody in my neighborhood has sold a house for more than $150,000. Where did they come up with $200,000? You march down to the property appraiser's office in Martin County and say, where did you come up with this number? It's not true. Every house, I can show you every comp because you can bring them up. We can have a realtor like Ms. Victoria Lloyd bring
Zillow
up.
Or something.
Yeah, you know, and show, and they do make mistakes. Now, normally if they appraise your house at less than what you think, you don't go in and bug them because you don't want them to raise it. But on the other hand, if they do it for more, you definitely have a case. But on the other hand, if you're homesteaded, remember the 3% rule mm-hmm. per year? Can't mm-hmm. go up. Now, in this last go-around with this terrible economy and the house values plummeting, so let's say your house was worth $200,000, then it went down to $100,000. Now, that might be the new basis for going up 3% a year from that $100,000.
Right.
So you need, if you have any doubts, and now we have two different people to talk to. Number one would be Vince, a CPA. Number two, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, who would literally tell you what all your comps are worth and where you stand. And Vince, she'd do that stuff for people. They don't have to hire her. She's just that's part of what she does, is to help people figure that kind of stuff out. Vince would then come back and say, hey, here's your tax implications, and I think you got a basis for going in and fighting it.
Mm.
And you go down to the courthouse and you fight it.
And you might want to go back and look at your
fight
tax.
It through the appraiser's office.
Appraiser's office,
the property appraiser.
Right.
Yeah. You know, Laurel Kelly.
Yeah, you go to
office.
That's here.
In Martin County.
Or if you in Martin go up, County, anyway.
Or if you go up to St. Lucie County.
St. Lucie County, that's, I forget who the
Putnam.
Tax collector is up there.
No.
Who it is.
Our ex congressman who's double dipping, who's hit the newspaper big, who you don't remember this name? They even named a piece of the college off of him, but I won't tell you his name.
Don't say it.
Yeah, don't say his name.
Anyway, 1-888-221-8990.
Hey, Joe, I got something came up before I forget. Tell you that, this new budget act that they passed?
No.
I've been doing
Yeah, they did sign it.
Yeah, it's law now. Well, there's something buried in there that we were talking about for months and years now about being able on Social Security, being able to file at your normal retirement age and then suspend so that your spouse could get your Social Security.
So they're letting the spouse get it?
No, they're closing the loophole.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you.
So what?
I think for anybody who this coming year,
right,
in 2016 turns 62, they won't be eligible for that.
The spousal
benefit at the normal retirement age.
Okay, now do this again. So I am 66.
You're 66.
My wife is 60.
Your wife is 62, or your wife could be right the same age as you.
Okay, makes no difference. Right? And I take my Social Security.
Right, but you say she never worked. Say she was a non-working spouse. She's got her own Social Security, but that Social Security is half of yours or less than half of yours.
Less than half of mine.
It would have to be less than half
years
to work.
Right.
So under the current rules, if you're of normal retirement age, you go in and you apply for your benefit, but you apply and you suspend. So what does that mean? You apply for the benefit, you actually fill in and say, I'd like to apply for my benefits, but I want to suspend the benefit.
Suspend means what?
Suspend means you don't collect.
Now, why would I apply for it then?
You would apply. Well, here's why. Because under that file and suspend rule, your spouse, who might be 66,
can get the spousal benefit.
Get your half of yours,
right?
And she doesn't apply for her own. Hers grows
right
till 70 when she has to take it, and then yours, you know, you're suspended
until
you start taking it. So she gets that bump up, or that whatever the excess over your half.
And they're getting rid of that.
They're going to close that. They've closed that loophole for those people who are younger. Anybody older than 62.
Isn't that something? You
know, is
anybody older than 62?
Yeah, because those who are turning 62 in 16 and will not be eligible. So I guess if you're 62 now, I think you are eligible.
Okay, so now is that for, okay, let's say I'm 62, my wife is 61.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to turn 62 next year.
Right.
She won't be able to get it.
She'll get her own.
No spousal.
But she can't get the spousal benefit any longer.
No.
Well,
that's my reading. She wouldn't be able to get it any longer. But, so if she's turning 62.
So they're doing away with the spousal benefit?
No, they're not doing away with spousal benefit. They're doing away with the file and suspend strategy. Where
So I would have to file for her to get it.
Exactly.
However,
always.
So if I don't file for my...
For yours.
Because I would if one is 62, you'd be filing early retirement.
And she would be... Once she reached 62, she normally would be able to file a spousal benefit, but that would be reduced also.
At 62, I could file suspend, and then
only file suspend at normal retirement. Normal retirement age, you could file suspend. Otherwise, you're taking your benefit early. You can't apply for two benefits at the same time.
There's a lot of reasons for that, Tom. Let's say you're 66.
Well, it would bankrupt Social Security pretty quickly.
It's a revenue. They say it's a revenue generator. This is a revenue generator because they're spending like, I don't know, some ridiculous number every year. They're losing out because people are taking advantage of this loophole.
The key thing is this. Let's say you're making $100,000 a year and you're 66. Okay, if you take Social Security, a portion of your Social Security is going to be added to your income. You're going to pay tax on that portion of your Social Security. Am I right, Vin?
Well, it depends on how much other income you have.
Well, I guess
it's only Social Security.
I had
$100,000.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, definitely. Level of income?
Yeah.
Well, 85% of your Social Security.
85% of it is subject to tax.
Taxes.
Right. Okay, so now I don't take it, and I wait till I'm 70, and I'm no longer making the $100,000 a year. Now I take my Social Security, which
your benefit is greater.
Benefit's greater, and it's not going to be taxable. Likely,
it's not going to be as
taxable if you waited to 70.
Yeah,
because you wouldn't have other income.
Don't have that other income, or let's say I now
have
got
a reduced income,
10 or 15,000 a year, but not 30 or 40 or 50 or
not 100. Right.
Yeah. So anyway, there's all kinds of strategies, and the most important thing to do is if you fit any of these things where you have questions before you do it. CPA and the Social Security office, which we go through constantly. Vince and I are constantly talking to clients, helping them. Once you make a decision, though, you're pretty much stuck.
Well, you can, you know, you have a year, Joe, to change your mind.
Then
for Social Security, if you realize, oh boy, that wasn't a smart idea, you have a year from the date you applied to undo it.
But
you got to pay back everything that you've gotten And if you were taking that, the Medicare premiums are coming out of there, well, then you got to pay
you gotta pay it all back.
So, yes, you can do it, but it undoes everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's only, you only have a year from the date you apply to undo it.
Once you hit 70, the rules change, and you got to take your minimum distribution, and you can't declare.
Once you hit 70, you have to take Social Security.
What if you have two a married couple, and let's say the husband is not filing his Social Security?
Hasn't filed at all.
Hadn't filed at all.
Okay.
His wife can't get a social a spousal
benefit.
But she turns 62 and files early retirement.
She could file early for herself. Yeah.
Now, if she works.
A few years later, he files.
Right.
Spousal benefit.
She could suspend her own at that point.
She could suspend her own and get the spousal benefit if it's greater.
As long as she's at her normal retirement age. Yes. She'd have to be at her normal retirement.
At her normal retirement.
66.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Point is, these are strategies. Every single one of these. And what happens is, before you make this determination, you need to learn.
Yeah. And it's evolving, as we just saw. This is probably, though, the first time they've changed this in years.
Yeah.
And they're monkeying with it now because...
But they didn't tell everybody.
No.
Didn't come up. This is another thing. It's really disturbing that the government didn't really highlight this factor that was factored into
There's
this
no
budget
sunshine
bill.
Law in the Congress.
Oh, look at Nancy Pelosi.
It's worse than this because they have unlimited power to borrow now for the next 2 years.
2 years,
And they got them an extra $80 billion going into the budget.
Well, you know what I think would happen?
Yet they cut back on Social Security benefits for some seniors.
But it's a political move. I think as they're going and they're probably saying, or the Republicans are hoping, that there'll be a Republican administration the next time, and some of these rules are going to say, hey, we're stuck for a couple of years with the rule, and we all approved it, so be it. We're already in deep doo-doo because of our deficit, so more doo-doo on top of the doo-doo we've already got may not be the worst thing that happens.
Well, you know, they could fix the whole problem.
They can.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Very easily.
Which is?
Just make all wages subject to Social Security. Right now, it's capped at 118.
This I don't understand at all. Why does nobody talk about this?
I don't know. But they could fix that in an instant.
You know what gets me is, Tom, you know that it's like 135?
No. 118.5.
118.5. So if you earn more than that, you don't pay Social Security on everything over $118,500 a year. Now, people that are making $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, I don't think they care if you had to pay Social Security.
Yeah, those people, interesting thing is, those people would feel it.
They don't
the least.
Yeah.
And so if they lifted that cap, like, you know, Medicare, you pay up to forever.
You always pay.
Forever. You're paying on every dollar you
make. And if you make over $250,000, don't you have to pay an additional?
That's only if you're collecting. If you're collecting, the amount of your premiums is dependent on the income you have in retirement.
Yeah.
So if you're making over $172,000, I believe, then you have to, then you're at a higher premium level.
Point is, do we ever get upset with our government on what they do?
Never.
We're happy as, you know, what's in a blanket.
You get kind of tied in a knot.
That tongue sure got bit a lot, didn't it? Right? You're bleeding at the mouth, Tom. 1-888-221-8990. So if you've got questions on Social Security,
call quick.
Well, how much time do we have?
We've only got about 10 minutes or so.
10 minutes. So you got plenty of time.
You got plenty of time to call. We could take 10 calls in that time.
Uh-huh.
Well, at least five, because
we've
got to take some time.
We've got to take some time.
But if you do have a question about mortgages or taxes.
Or Social Security.
Investments, rollovers, IRAs, 403s,
403Bs, 457s.
There's so many numbers that the code has. But basically, the rules on most of these are pretty similar. They say if you take money out prior to age 59 and a half, you pay a penalty and tax.
Mm-hmm.
When you turn 70 and one half, you have to take out each year what they call a required minimum distribution in order to comply. And if I'm not mistaken, Vince, the tax penalty for not taking a required minimum is the highest penalty in the tax code.
It is. It's a 50% penalty. It's ridiculous.
Isn't that something?
Absolutely ridiculous.
50%.
Yeah. 50% penalty.
Of what you should have taken that didn't take.
I just had a 50% experience of my own.
I'm so happy for you.
Oh.
I got my health care renewal notice.
Oh, yeah. Lucky you.
And my health care insurance premium has gone up $250 a month.
Whoa, baby.
You haven't got yours.
I did get mine. It didn't go up quite that much.
51% increase.
Yeah, mine was about a 16% increase.
Well, we do have a few disgruntled people on Obamacare, do we not? But we won't talk about that.
Well, you know, I'm paying probably this
caller. Point. It's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you.
Yes, I'm calling, I'm listening to your program, and I'm calling because I filed bankruptcy 2 years this October.
Okay.
And I'm now paying, every month I have to send off a payment to the bankruptcy court or to the trustee.
Okay.
What happened to me recently is I fall back on paying my homeowners association fee because my husband was out of work for a while and I'm the only one who was working. So now I got a letter from the association that I owe them over $6,000. I want to know, if you could answer this question for me. Can they take my home even though I file bankruptcy? If I don't make the payment as fast as, they want me to?
Well, in the case of the Homeowners Association, if you owe them that, they likely have a lien placed on your property. Then that lien goes to the land and building.
Which means sell it.
If you sell it,
they get
the
clipped.
Bank would get, if there's a mortgage, the bank would get paid first because they have a senior lien.
Yep.
And then this other lien would get,
the homeowners
association would get paid out of anything that's left.
Do you have a mortgage on the house you're paying also?
There is a mortgage on the house.
Okay.
I am trying to go to do, refinancing.
Right.
But things haven't gotten there yet.
By the way, caller, the homeowner, the reason why I know this is I'm on the board of my own homeowners association, and we come across this all the time.
Yep.
The association has the right, by the way, to actually foreclose on your unit.
However.
It costs money.
Even though I filed Chapter 13?
They could still, well, has it been resolved? Is the bankruptcy discharged?
13 is a reconstruction.
Sorry.
No,
I'm not sure. That question I don't know the answer to.
Can you repeat that for me? 13, you say Chapter 13 is what?
Is a reorganization. That's a reorganization under the code that allows you to restructure your debts to conform to your ability to pay. Usually it's under the auspices of the court.
That's why she's sending a payment to the court.
That's why you're paying the court. Exactly. I'm not sure. I'm not a lawyer. Caller, so I'm not sure the answer to that question, whether they can foreclose now that you're under the 13. I don't think so. That's my gut, but I can't answer
that. Here's the other side of the coin.
Is it not protected being the homestead?
If it's your homestead, you're exempt from attachment.
Yes, it is my homestead.
However, the first lender, which is the mortgage, rather than the homeowners association, they, if you didn't pay them, they can foreclose you out of that.
Right.
If the homeowners association wanted to do that, they would have to pay off the first loan, which is your mortgage, which they're not going to do.
Uh-huh. No, they wouldn't be required to, Joe.
But point is, they could foreclose all they want. But
no,
they,
we could foreclose. They could take the title of her house. I'm not sure about the 13. 13 aside.
Yeah.
They could take title of the house, but you know what happens in that case.
The
bank comes in and forecloses their own mortgage.
Of course.
And so you're done.
Yeah. Anyway, what we're trying to say is that the odds are extremely good that they cannot take your house and they won't do that. But literally,
I have all the intention of paying it, just trying to get myself together to see how we can start making some payments.
Are you communicating with your homeowners association and explaining this to them?
Yes, we have. My husband called them. They said we should send them an email pertaining to our situation, which we did.
Okay.
So it's for them now to say, well, okay, we said we can pay X amount monthly, and we don't know if they will accept that.
The odds are good they'll work with you because nobody really wants to take the house, and especially with the Chapter 13.
It's complicated with the 13.
Yeah.
I think you're right, Joe. I think that they'd want to work with you, caller, if you give them a reasonable payment plan, but you can't fall behind on the current assessment.
Once you do the deal,
they'll allow you to back, they'll let you pay the back off over time, but you're going to have to stay current with the current assessments.
Yeah, they want us to come up with a certain amount, and then that amount has to be made, we have to pay that. What they're asking us, and then can say, well, okay, we can make two or three or four,
of course they should work with you, and most of them will. And once you're into that bankruptcy on 13, which is a reorganization, you've got the court system on your side, I believe, at this point. So literally just communicate with your homeowners association. Tell them the truth. Show them where you are.
Yes.
Tell them what you're trying to do. And I would bet they'll work with you. If you have problems with that, you call us back, and we've got enough people on this group, including our attorney, that can help you.
Yes, I've been listening to you, and I truly like what I hear from each one of you. So, you know.
Well, we thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling.
And
if we can help,
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
God bless you. Goodbye.
1-888-221-8990. You know what happens, Vince? It never fails. Here's 20-some years, 30 years in business, and there's always a new question that comes up.
Came up on the Homeowners Association.
But a 13.
And a Chapter 13. I think there is protection there for the 13.
Point is, that's what the 13 does.
Yeah.
And what it does is, the 13 says, folks, there's a 7 which says, I'm discharging, I'm not paying.
I'm not paying, right.
There's an 11 which means we don't have to pay certain things. But
they will basically give you pennies on a dollar. That's the 11.
And the 13,
but the 13 is they usually don't reduce the debt. They work it out. You work it out.
What you're saying is
it protects you from creditors until you can't pay it.
Right. Yeah. What they do is say, okay, fine. We owe $3,000 a month. We've only got $2,000 a month we can pay. So the court system says, fine, we're going to take $2,000 a month. And everybody agrees to take it in the 13 until the system is worked out.
Until it's worked out.
Well,
she should speak to a lawyer about that. That's why I say I'm not a lawyer. I don't know all the intricacies.
No, but, you know, it isn't something that happens every day. 13s are pretty rare filing.
Yeah, usually it's 11 or 7 is all I've 11 seen. Or I haven't 7. Seen a lot of 13s.
No. 1-888-221-8990. We're just about out of time. Pastor Tom is flashing the one-minute card. Are you flashing it?
No.
Oh, you're holding it down.
He's holding it.
I just flashed the two-minute card.
Oh.
I'm 30 seconds away from the one-minute card.
So you're
29, 30, 28, 27.
And I'm watching the clock.
He's just waiting for that flash.
Anybody has questions? Also, by the way, anybody that's not happy with the banks, they should be talking to me. I'll give you some information on debt instruments that are paying around 5 or 6% interest. And it's just a really, really nice thing that I consider a stopgap until the banks start paying good again, if that ever happens. But these debt instruments are just beautiful things. And we've had a bunch of clients that have said, hey, 5 or 6% is a whole lot better than getting a half or one that the bank is paying me. Now we're flashing 1 minute. We got words of wisdom, Tom?
Look both ways before you cross a street.
That's pretty good.
That is a
That's
word.
Pretty good.
It's a pearl right
you know,
there.
There's probably
another one that we talked about just before the show. Look before you leap.
Amen. Is this called watch out for that woman that you really want to marry?
I've already married her.
Oh, it's too late. Uh-huh. Don't watch out for that one. You're already married to her. Hey, folks, I want to thank you very much for listening. We've enjoyed. Thank you, caller, for your call. Remember this, you can call the station anytime. Talk to Pastor Tom or Connie. They'll take your name and number, and we will call you back. 1-888-221-8990. Now, remember this, class. Write that number down. This is important. 1-888-221-8990. Should we say goodbye?
Yes.
Say goodbye.
And once again, thanks to all our veterans out there.
Yes.
Amen. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. And God bless you all.
I didn't get to tell my veteran story. Maybe I'll tell it next week.
Tell it next week.
Thank you, folks.
You've been listening to the Team Martech program. The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-229-0114.
Down and looking within. covered with shame and swallowed by sin.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm City.